as happens every now and then, for whatever reason, I got in my head, maybe the Holy Spirit did, I don't know, you know how he works. Sometimes we make the best plans in the world and all of a sudden they change. And I guess you was planning on being there this evening. Didn't work out that way. But anyhow, I'm glad you got to visit with him. And it's been a long time. I'm talking about in the mid or late 70s, 1970s, that we were down there. That's been a while. Just a bit of a while. Anyhow, you can turn to Genesis and chapter 1. Every now and then, I like to do a little history lesson with myself. And something else, too, I like to do geography lessons. We're going to see to that here directly when we get to Nineveh, maybe. But I always, you know, if I have a Bible that needs to be replaced, I always get in the back and cut those maps out, if there's any there. Also, I've got a bunch of National Geographic maps that some of them are from way back when, supposedly, and some of them more modern. And if you ever get a chance to get maps, get maps. That way you know when we're talking about certain areas, you know exactly where they are, it should be. The one city in particular I want to kind of bring up for a minute or two is Nineveh this evening, a little later on. Not a whole lot later, but just a little later on. Roger, I hope, is your neck bothering you, or was you agreeing that maybe it shouldn't be?
I'm agreeing.
Okay. I was hoping it was his neck, but everybody, you know, you go some places and they say, take all the time you want. And then you look back after a while and I took all the time I wanted and they did too. But anyhow, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, don't have to go any farther there for just a minute. We have scientists who claim that a long time ago, a polywog crawled out of a mud puddle, and that was the beginning of life. Well, the only thing is, they neglect to tell us where the mud puddle come from. And they say, well, you know, it was the product of, well, I'll tell you what, I've heard some wild stories here recently about how that maybe we come out of the backside of a black hole in space or something, you know, or maybe we just made it past it and didn't realize it. All that is kind of foolish when you look at the Word of God. We're going to look at a little history lesson. I was telling some of the brothers and sisters here earlier about how that there was a world history teacher that talked about the Anabaptists, and he did run them all the way back when they were first called the Anabaptists because they baptized again. And we're talking about not during the Reformation, but way before that. The only history teacher I ever had that put us back that far. And if he just went just a little bit farther. Well, okay. But anyhow, we see here that God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it starts out and says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And this is interesting. If everything's in a chronological order here to start with, and I believe, you know, we're day one, day two, day three, the sun hadn't come into creation yet. Where'd that light come from? Evidently, it came from God. And Jesus Christ, if you remember John, the first chapter, Jesus was the one who created all this. I mean, that person of God. the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, wasn't anything created unless he created it. That's what the scriptures say. We could go back there, but you can too, if you haven't already. So, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And once again, something is happening here. Light is coming from somewhere. Could it be that the translators maybe, I don't think so. I think that there was light and darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Boy, there's even an evening and a morning before the sun's mentioned. I know that in the Bible sometimes you'll have things that are said, and then they actually happen, and then you can drop back and see that, well, maybe it's talking about this. It can be confusing. But only if we fail to study. You know, anytime you study the Bible, you need to pray first for the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we go through here. No confusion with God. Now, verse 6, here's something that I never had heard before. There was a brother that came up to Bethany when I was a member there, and he came up here from up there from Cincinnati, I believe. He was a geologist who worked for oil companies and so forth, but he was also a pastor. And this was about the time, you remember when Brother Horn's son passed away? It was about that same time, or just a little bit after, when he came. And I don't remember his name. He actually has died since then. He had cancer, I think, brain tumor. He looked at verse 6 here, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the... Let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, back when Jimmy was still with us, I had a similar lesson here before you came, brother. And I am stuck on this. People back in when God first created the earth, people were living for a long time. They was living up to close to 1,000 years. Now, how can that be? I mean, I'm already past the minimum, so to speak, of 70 years or 72 years, whatever. So I'm on borrowed time, according to, you know, the standard that God wrote in the Bible here. But the interesting thing is that when he said there's a firmament between the waters, now the first thing I thought, first time I ever read that, I thought, oh, I know what that is. That's North and South America, and that's Europe and all those places. Then finally got the dictionary out, you know, I bug Sandy with every now and then. I got the dictionary out and looked at firmament, and guess what? It's the air. And also maybe the up where the stars are, but mainly it's talking about our atmosphere. So did the atmosphere divide the waters from the waters? In other words, the Atlantic from the Pacific and all that? Not hardly, or we're in trouble. Whenever that water finally figures out that it's supposed to be somewhere else and we get drowned, be sort of like the flood when Noah was here on the earth. Okay, so that means, if you look it up, it means the air that we breathe. Waters separated waters. There was waters on the earth, and there was waters above the atmosphere. What could those waters possibly do that were up there? Filter the sunlight. God designed, when he designed, first off, our human bodies and so forth, to start with, I think we could have lasted in the eternity here on the earth. Whenever he put that water up there as a filter. I think he made sure that we would not be affected by this sunlight, which is very, very important. But at the same time, it's also dangerous. If you've ever been sunburned, you know what I'm talking about. And we got a lot of people with skin cancers that are caused by, you know, the terrible rays that come from the sun. But those waters obviously filtered that out. Interesting thing happens whenever the flood came. From that time on, people started living a whole lot shorter. It took a long time for that to kind of sink in. But it's true that they actually started living shorter. Now, not immediate. And guess what? There was a lot of animals that used to be on the earth that are now fossils. Because I think they said at one time, a lot of these big dinosaurs that used to be on the earth, and I think they did, was probably on there before the flood. And after the flood, if they survived, if there was any on the ark, and probably would have been, if there was any on the ark, they didn't live too long after they got to dry ground because their lungs were so small. They were used to, our air now contains maybe 20% oxygen at the best. And you better be living pretty close to a forest if you get that. Whenever you give a person CPR, you're giving them used air about 16%. And of course, that's still better than none at all. But it's not good to support life over a long period of time. So there was a lot of oxygen everywhere. Not too long ago, I don't think it was very long ago, I read an article or saw where that they found a palm tree, I think it was in Alaska, in the ice. How could that be? Basically a fossilized, well, appeared to be a fossil anyhow, as far as I could read there. And they were amazed. And they said, well, you know, we must have had some global warming at one time or another, you know, before we got it now. You know, so when God created this earth, I think there was, everywhere there was land, there was greenery. And everywhere, you know, there wasn't the polar ice on the ends there. I don't think ice existed back then. Because of the fact that God put that big diffuser up there. Not only did it protect me and so forth. And, you know, you think, well, Greg, this is science off the wall. What's the big deal about it? Listen, God is the ultimate scientist. When he created us, he planned for every step of this human life, including the fact that men would sin. Now, he didn't make men sin. You think God didn't know that men would sin? Because if Jesus, the Son of God, that person of God, was the one who created all this, he's also the one who came and died because of sin. All right, so God made the firmament, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And we get down there, finally, you know, the sun is created. And what I want us to see here, just for a second, you can remember when, well, let's go on to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Well, now, up to now, they've been living to Methuselah, 969 years. So, they have been living quite a bit. Somebody said, and I've never really found any definition of names and so forth, but when Methuselah, his name actually means, and Brother Steve, I don't know if you've ever made a study on names and stuff like that, but supposedly his name means when he dies, it shall come. What? The flood. So Methuselah, his generation of people were able to survive through that. Now, you know, men still lived for a longer period of time, not as long as they did before the flood, but after the flood. And in when we read about the flood, first off, you know, back when I was a kid, the animals went on the ark two by two, and that's all there was, you know. And the Word of God says, actually, well, there's seven of the clean and two of the unclean. Seven pairs, I guess it is, and two of the unclean. And so the flood ends, and the men walk off the floods, off the ark. God sends them off the ark. Noah's sons are going on, and they're going to repopulate the earth. If I sound a little bit, this was kind of a last-minute change. I mean, surprised me. And it surprised me real big when Brother Steve was standing in here when I came. So he's already studied all this stuff. He knows this. But this is for me, especially, that I can get more confident in the things that are in God's Word as it is written, and not as maybe I've heard it in the past. So the flood did destroy all the life on the earth, and those came off the earth and repopulated. Now, the interesting thing is, the sin, the shortcomings, all the things that God was displeased with before the flood wasn't totally eliminated. First off, Satan's still alive and well. Secondly, these sons of Noah, especially one, but the sons of Noah have carried on the tradition of being sinners. Especially one. Now, as you go back over to chapter 9, we were talking about using wine in the Lord's Supper. And I don't know, but I guess this might be one of the first uses of wine that I remember seeing in the Bible. But in chapter 9, and let's drop down to verse 20. 19 says, "These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." There was one of them in particular, Steve, that we were kind of maybe talking about this morning indirectly. That was Ham, and we're going to see a little bit more about him in a minute. Anyhow, Noah began to be an husbandman in verse 20. "And he planted a vineyard and drank of the wine and was drunken," which obviously he shouldn't have done. Some might say, well, maybe he never had drank any wine before, so he didn't know he could get drunk. I don't know about that. I really don't. I know now he's going to know about drinking too much wine. He's going to be drunk. He's going to pass out in his tent. The tent obviously was open. Maybe. Some say that one of the sons of Noah was inquisitive. Maybe even a peeping Tom, which is probably true. Excuse me. When in verse 21, "And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent." Verse 22, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, he didn't just, I've got three brothers. If one did something, or if mom or dad did something or said something that was a little different, not something we were used to hearing or something like that, one of us would go tell the others and so on and so forth. So we all got lost real quick so we didn't get in trouble. Didn't work, but we tried it anyhow, didn't we, Stevie? Ham probably, and I've heard some preachers preach on this one, probably looked in there and saw that and thought that was funny. That's what some of the preachers that I've heard in the past said. I think maybe it might have been during one of the Bible conferences here, but anyhow, they said that actually he was amused by his father being drunk and went and told the others that you ought to see Dad. Well, the interesting thing is that he didn't offer to help. He just went and told. So it's very possible that that's what happened. Doesn't say that here. Once again, you know, we can fly off the handle if we're not careful. I should say I can fly off the handle if I'm not careful. Anyhow, verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now the interesting thing is, verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done what his younger son had done unto him. What could he have done? I mean, if he just simply walked by the tent and glanced in and saw his dad laying there naked, we're not supposed to look on your father's nakedness. But that wouldn't have been his fault. But if he would have, let's say, could he have possibly actually uncovered his father? I don't know. It doesn't say anything like that in there. But did he actually stop and think once again? Look at our father. The man who God talked to and instructed on how to build the ark and led us all the way through the flood and so forth. And now look at him. He's drunk and in his tent. Goodness sakes. He made some kind of a judgment. He did something because Noah awoke from his wine and knew that what his younger son had done unto him. I think it may have been more than just look. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren. And he blessed the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, in chapter 10, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, we can go on down through there. But the main thing I want us to see is that the descendants of Ham had to do with the area of Canaan. And Canaan, of course, these places that we're talking about here are, guess what, Steve? Over around Assyria. Now comes this thing about Nineveh. Way on back in the scriptures, matter of fact, all the way back to Jonah. Taking a big jump here. Nineveh is a big city. It's a walled city. Brother Jason taught on it recently, and I don't know where he got all his information, but the height of the walls were unbelievable. I don't remember exactly. Shame on me. But it seems to me like it was in the 20-foot or maybe even above range and 16-foot wide up on top so they could run two chariots all the way around the city. It was a walled city. Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down, and so on. Now, the interesting thing is, Jonah ran away from what God had intended him to do. He was to be a missionary to Nineveh, a big city with a lot of people that were going to perish. And by the way, most of the cities that are described in the Bible can be found, or at least the ruins of them, can be found in this day and time. You know, the interesting thing about Nineveh? Now, first of all, if you remember in Jonah, Nineveh repented. Tonight, I'm giving a lesson to people that already know the biggest part of what I'm saying, so I can kind of skip over a lot. Nineveh, the people there repented of their evil. Keeping in mind that they're dead center, and guess where? Assyria. And that's the group that you're talking about that came over and put Israel and Jonah, or Judah, I'm sorry, eventually, in captivity. Somewhere along the line, there was the river, what was it, Tigris, that ran right down by Nineveh. I looked on my map, and that's what it says it probably was, the river Tigris. The interesting thing about that is that when that river flooded, it wiped Nineveh, that great city, off the map. Geologists or archaeologists, I should say, even in this day and time, can't find the first stone of Nineveh. So it was destroyed eventually. Jonah would be well pleased the way he was back then. I mean, he got upset over a gourd plant that wilted and yet wasn't concerned about all those people that would perish in that city or would have perished in his lifetime. This was probably after Jonah, but anyhow. Now let's go back to where we started, because pretty soon now we're going to finish. Back where we started, we said that God created the firmament in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 1. So that firmament was once again the atmosphere. But there, we know that there's another segment up above where that water used to be. There's another segment up there, which is outer space, and there's no air to breathe. Man would not have survived. I could go and tell you, well, I think it's in Genesis chapter 10, along in there, and we can go to the Tower of Babel, but I think we've been there recently, so, you know, we're not going to go back. In Genesis chapter 10, it tells about, or tells us about the Tower of Babel, the languages and so forth. And by the way, linguistics, that's a good study. They say that basically languages just became, you know, from dialects. That's where, you know, all the languages come from, just different dialects. Well, I'd like for them to explain to me how one tribe over in Africa, when they talk, that's how they communicate. Morse code, Stevie. I don't think so. But that, I mean, you know, they still to this day use, that's how they communicate. It's not a big tribe, but it's a tribe. Where'd they learn language like that? Well, whenever you've got everybody speaking the same language, we've kind of skipped over that one, but whenever you've got everybody speaking the same language and they decide to do something, they've got all kinds of people that can come in and go to work because everybody understands how to lay brick. All it takes is one guy and he can tell everybody else in the whole world how to lay brick. So God confounded their languages so that nobody spoke the same language. And boy, you talk about confused. Couldn't teach them how to lay brick anymore, Steve. Couldn't teach them how to be, wow, couldn't teach them how to be a preacher. Because who would they be talking to? Themselves. Well, with their doctrine that they had, that's as far as it needed to go. They needed to be confused and spread. And they were. They were scattered. Why? Because they couldn't talk to each other. Couldn't pull up to a drive-in window and said, I'll take a double with, you know, French fries and whatever. If it had been still today the way it was back then. And I guess if you work in a drive-up window, it kind of probably sounds that way sometimes anyhow. But anyhow. Yeah. Be even nervous. Yeah. With double whatever, you know. So much for that. But anyhow, let's go back. We've already talked about those two heavens now. One of them is where, of course, the earth is with the atmosphere around it. I guess we're the only planet with that type of atmosphere. The only one we know of, anyhow. That's all we need to know right now. But, well, let's go to, I promised you I was going to quit. So 2 Corinthians 12. And especially verse 2. And then on a little bit farther. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. I think Paul's telling us that not only did he know this fellow, but he probably was this fellow who was called up. I can think a time or two when he was beat so bad that they thought he was going to die. And he tells, you know, what all he had went through in his lifetime in service to Jesus Christ and to the church that he, or churches that he established here, especially, you know, Antioch. But he knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, called up to the third, to paradise, where God is, where God dwells forever. Now, God, let's face it, our God, we've got some terms that we like to use, for instance, omnipresent. God is always present. Regardless of where you go, what situation you're in, God is always present. In one form or another, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, listen, that is still a mystery It's a mystery, but at the same time, we need to know that it's the truth. And Paul said that this fella heard things which were not lawful. In other words, things that he couldn't tell. And you wonder, well, why was this man called up there for that purpose? How many men were on the earth at that time that could do that and come back down and talk about it? How many men do you think there was on the earth at that time that could experience such a thing as what we just read there? Now, Brother Steve, you probably have a good explanation for that. Sometime, you know, if you're going to preach that message, let me know, and I'll be sure to tune in here. By the way, Renee is watching. Sorry, Renee, if your batteries went, hopefully her batteries didn't go dead. Anyhow, I just noticed that. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Sandy will tell you I'm not all here sometimes. But anyhow, I hope tonight that we understand that, you know, God has been in control from the very beginning. God has made plans for us that if sin had not entered, I mean, you can't blame God. He made all the preparations that we could live here in these bodies for an eternity. But we failed miserably several times, to the point to even being involved, well, some of our ancestors anyhow, obviously, to try to build a tower to the heavens. Now, I thought one time, well, God stopped them so they wouldn't go into a vacuum and die and fall off the top. That makes sense, except for one thing. Never could have got that. They'd run out of breathing there before they ever got there. I think Dad said something to the effect that after 10, 12,000 feet, I guess it was, after 12,000 feet, they have to wear oxygen masks to fly the plane. If you're up there in a commercial airliner and you're above, let's say you're up there around 20, 30,000 feet and they fly up there, but they have pressurized cabins. The reason they have to have those is as far as they're up to go, the thinner the air gets. And by the way, air is affected by gravity. So the farther up you go, the thinner the air gets and you black out. Or you start seeing things that aren't there. Gremlins, I think they called them during World War II. I think that's right, Steve. But anyhow, regardless of what they called them, they were seeing things. Or they blacked out. So everybody in the airplane, if you get up there and the cabin depressurizes, there's a little thing falls down and you stick that little cone over your face and you get to breathe oxygen for, I think it's somewhere around 5 to 7 minutes. You think, what's going to happen in 5 to 7 minutes? Well, the pilot and co-pilot and the engineer, boom, they put a big helmet on, like a diving helmet almost. And you can tell that's what they got on because I've watched YouTube, you know, and some of their, whenever the airplanes have depressurized and they start talking on the radio saying that we're going to have to take a dive and have an emergency landing and all that kind of stuff, it sounds like they're talking in a bucket. Did you ever watch Andy Griffith when Gomer Pyle was had to sing when in the halls of Montezuma with the bucket on his head? Okay, well, that's about what it sounded like. And anyhow, I don't know why I'm telling you all that, but I guess just so that you know that whenever you get up so high, there's no danger of anybody building a tower into outer space. That's it. That's the bottom line. So God has taken care that they didn't get that high. Number one, if they'd have built a big old tower, everybody could see it and everybody could use the same language, so they all come around there and now they got their own little false religion. And the reason why that they can claim their might It's because they built that big old tall tower. Remember this morning I was telling you about some of these churches, the way they build them, they're real beautiful and they're huge and big tall spires on them and all this kind of stuff. Case closed. That's all it's about. Good looks. Better be careful because there might be some good Baptist churches that have fell into that trap. That's a lot of money that could have been spent for some other reasons. The only thing I got to say about it, not that I'm wanting them to send me any, but if they decided to, no, just seriously, these things that we talked about this evening, for some reason, this afternoon I was sitting around and all of a sudden I had a lesson planned out and, you know, typed out and everything. And this one is off the cuff, and it probably sounds that way. But listen, God has taken care of our every need. He provided for Noah. He provided for Jonah. Jonah maybe didn't deserve it, but he did anyhow. He provided for the sons of Noah. Two of them had really good heritage. The children they had turned out to be pretty good. Ham, not so much, because his people all went over there where they would actually end up being the captors of Israel, north and south. And that's it for this evening. I'm sorry, Brother Steve, that this didn't come out any better than I wanted it to, but this didn't have a whole lot of time, but I thought maybe I could get by with it. And hopefully you will be able to glean whatever there is in there that would be a big help, especially in creation and all these theories that we come up with. I will say one thing. Somebody told a story one time, and this is a story. This is not the truth. I can almost tell you it's not the truth. It's an illustration. One of the scientists said, you say God created man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed the life into his nostrils, the breath of life. Yes, sir. The scientist said, what if I told you I could do the same thing? The guy said, well, if you want to give it a try, I'd be more than glad to watch. So the scientist bent over and got him a handful of dust, and the guy said, whoop, wait a minute. You have to make your own dust. Brother.